You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome and greet you wherever you are. If you're on your computer or you listen on the radio, we greet you. And Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida, and we just had our 23rd anniversary. We named it years ago, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. Name it, Pastor Donna. What's it say over there, by the way? We haven't mentioned this lately.
It says, worship God. Well, you want to read the whole verse?
Yeah, let's read the whole verse.
Okay.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 10.
Okay.
What probably is my favorite verse in the Bible.
And actually, you know, but this is a good thing too, because there's a lot of people worship other things.
That's
other,
right.
What you would call other gods. The Bible would call it other gods, or I'd call it, or devils, demons.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know, we shouldn't worship anything except God.
That's right.
And so this was happening right here in this chapter. It says in verse 10, it says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me,
Don't do that.
See thou, do it
That's right.
not. I am thy fellow servant." So this was a servant.
I'm not God, I'm a fellow servant, yes.
"And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus." We have the testimony of Jesus, don't we?
That's right.
And then he says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
That's exactly what it is.
And so what happened right after that? He said, "I saw heaven open." God wants to show us the things to come.
Amen.
Amen. And he's always faithful. He wants to reveal those things to his servants.
Amen.
So if you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will show you things to come.
That's
"And I
right.
saw heaven open, and behold," he saw the white horse, and so forth and so on. So praise God.
Some of these other Bibles that we have out with the corrupted Greek text, they don't call us a servant. They say we're a slave. We're not a slave to Christ.
No, we're a servant.
We willingly serve him. Amen.
It's interesting, you know, there are two places in the book of Revelation where it talks about horse. Well, there's several places, but a white horse.
A white horse.
Well, and so he clarifies what this white horse
That's
is.
That's right. Absolutely.
He said, "Behold, I saw a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war."
That's right.
And when the Lord, one of the things the Lord spoke to us about this year is, this is a year of
warring in the spirit.
Warring in the spirit.
That's
How
right.
do you war in the spirit?
Mm-hmm.
In prayer.
Prayer.
Warring in the spirit.
And praying in your heavenly language.
So this was the Lord Jesus Christ he
yeah.
saw. Now there's another place where it talks about a white horse, and some people misunderstand that.
That's right.
And we weren't going to talk about that at all, but you know, maybe we will.
That white horse is the false Messiah, isn't it? Right.
Right. That one is the false Messiah.
That's right.
That's right.
He's a counterfeit of what
So we're
God
blessed
did.
To be here, and yes, we did celebrate our 23rd anniversary.
Hard to believe, yeah.
Yes, but God is good. God
All the
is
time.
Faithful, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go on. This
that's
is
right.
a new year. We go on. 2016.
2016.
57, 76. We go on in the Lord. to do and fulfill what he has us to do. He has something for, he has a call on all, everyone's life. Everyone who is a servant, this is important that we're fellow servants. We're fellow, we're servants of the Lord Jesus
Christ. The household
Christ,
of God, right.
That we all have a work to do. God has a plan for our life, and he wants us to, he wants us to fulfill it. Of course,
absolutely.
We want to fulfill it as well. But we do have services, I'll mention, here in Stuart, Florida. We have come together on Friday night for our Shabbat service. And with that, we have also we have communion and some teaching and worship God. And then we come together on Saturdays today. Of course, you all hear us here on the radio, WCNO, every Saturday at 12 noon till 1 o'clock. So I pray that you're blessed by this program and it just touches your heart to something that maybe you'll learn something, maybe you'll get stirred up in something, you know, that the Lord would touch you. He wants to touch us all the time.
That's right, all the time.
That's right. And so this afternoon, of course, we will have a teaching or we have a video at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then we close the Sabbath with a little meal, and we close the Sabbath with the Sabbath prayers. And that's pretty awesome, isn't it?
That's right.
If ain't no one's ever done it before,
pleases
it's pretty
God,
awesome.
We know that.
That's right. And then we come together on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock to worship, more worship, to worship God.
Amen.
Amen. That's praise right. The Lord.
So we greet all you and welcome all you to the program. Probably mm-hmm. someone's out there right now, Pastor Donna, listening for the very first time.
That's right.
We greet you and welcome you in the love and the charity of the Lord. And we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. But a lot of you are out there has listened for months and months and maybe years. And so we just thank God that you're doing that. And so we welcome you to the program. We hope you get something out of this today, not because of Donna and I. It's about Jesus. About
amen.
What he came to do for the entire world. And so we lift him up. And it says in the Gospels, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. All men will be brought.
So I want to give our telephone number.
Okay.
It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. If you'd like to have information about Spirit of Prophecy Ministries or about the radio program, or if you just like to talk to Pastor Gene or myself, just feel free to give us a call, and we would love to speak with you and pray with you, or pray with somebody. Pray, maybe you have some prayer needs, you know. But you know, we can always go to God. God is always there to listen to us, amen, to hear our prayers, our supplications
to
him.
So we're honored to be here with you today on another Saturday afternoon. This is the first Saturday, right, of 2016. So it's amazing where we're at. Time flies by so fast. But I was praying this week and looking at some things in the Bible, and I hope we're all doing that, but just asking the Lord what would be something to continue on with that we've been discussing. And if you've been with the program the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about an appendix that I wrote to my book called The Pictures of the Messiah about the Torah. Is it valid or obsolete, or has it been done away with for us today? And we proved through all those 2 weeks, I believe, and those the write-ups on that are available, the appendix, if you'd like to have it. We'll make it available to you. All we ask you to do is send a self-addressed envelope and all, and mail it to us and tell us you want that, and we'd be glad to mail it out to you. And it covers everything that we talked about the last 2 weeks. And I was led to today, this morning, to maybe talk a little bit more about this, because we've got a misnomer in the body of Christ today. We have had it for years that the Torah has been done away with, and I hear it all the time. But yet, the whole Bible is valid for us today to teach us. And so we talked about this basically the last 2 weeks about how, you know, we've taken scriptures and we've turned them into some kind of a legalistic aspect that we shouldn't be doing. And then we've had these things that we've forced upon people that were under the law and all that. And we heard all these terms over the years and all that. But we proved, I think, the last 2 weeks that God has a reason for the Torah, and the purpose of it was, we mentioned last week especially, it was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And we know if you study the Word of God and believe what it says, not what man may tell you, the Bible makes it quite clear the Torah was put in place to teach us and to instruct us how to walk a holy life. It was never intended to bring salvation. It was once we come by faith, even the first covenant people had to come by faith, and then what do? They obeyed the Torah, did those things that God said by faith, and so that's how they got saved, not by keeping all those things. And we're going to see this, we're going to look in the book of Galatians today and see what Paul had to say about all this. And so it was there to teach us how to walk a holy life. And the key thing, I think, with all of it was this, that it was put in place to show us how terrible sin really is. Sin is terrible, and it will keep us out of the kingdom of God. So we've got so many things in the Torah that it instructs us in so many areas. You know, you can read about all these things that we've talked about over the months and the years on this program that is in the Torah. Well, we have to look at those things. We don't do the ceremonial things anymore with sacrificing animals and all that, but there are certain things that we have to understand that God wants us to know. And, you know, like idolatry and witchcraft and hatred, what else we talk about? Wrath, malice, strife, heresies, fornication, adultery. We go on and on with all the sins and a lot of smaller ones that God's mentioned in the Bible as well. We think they're smaller, but they're really not in God's eyes. He said, do not steal, do not lie, do not covet someone else's property. Don't do those things. And so those are still in effect today. And so how do we know that? Because the Bible tells us so. I think about what Paul said over in Romans chapter 7 at one point. He said, he was talking about the Torah. He says, until I understood what the Torah said to me, he says, I didn't understand what lust was. And he wasn't talking about a sexual thing, but it was a strong desire. And he found out what covetousness meant, to covet what somebody else had to say. And so that's interesting, or what they might have to say, or what they're doing. And so God doesn't want us to be in that place. And so the Word of God is so powerful that we might understand that. But it has not been done away with, and I want to emphasize that before we talk about this. So I want to do something before. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 2 to start with. But before we go there, I want to go over to Romans chapter 7 with you. And we talked about this last week a little bit. But I want to show you some things here about the Apostle Paul. And he understood this finally. And so in verse 12 of chapter 7, he said this really clear. He says, wherefore the law, this is what? This is the Torah, is holy. So the word holy means it's set apart. And the commandment, what? Holy, or set apart, and just. It means it's just, it's righteous, and it's good. And then he goes down. Let's look at verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me, Paul says? God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin. See, that's why it shows how bad sin is in the Torah. Working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become what? Exceedingly sinful. Verse 14, for we know that the law, or the Torah, is spiritual. But he says, I am carnal and sold under sin. It's amazing when we think about it. Now, I'm going to back up, and let me show you something Paul said in this chapter also, very important. Verse 7, he says this. What shall we say then? Is the law, this is the Torah, sin? Well, he says, God forbid. It's not. Nay, I had not known sin. See, it revealed what sin was all about. But by the law of the Torah, for I had not known lust, here's this word, means a strong desire for anything, except the law of the Torah had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion, he says, by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, which means a lust or a passion or on evil desires. For without the law or the Torah, what? Sin was dead. So before the Torah was put in place, people didn't really know what sin was. They had their conscience and all that, but the commandments were put in place at that time. For Paul then says in verse 9, for I was alive without the Torah once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, means it revived in me, he's what he's saying, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be what? Unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. And then he says, wherefore the Torah, the law, is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. So he realized what it was all about. And so Paul wrote an interesting book in the New Testament called the Book of Galatians. It was written to the Galatian church. And we find out, if we study the history about this time, the time of Paul's life and what was going on in the church at Galatia, we find out there was a lot of Jewish people that were converted to Christ. And then they began to say to the people, that the Gentiles that wanted to come and came to Christ, that they had to do this, this, and that, you know, to be circumcised and do all these things, or they couldn't be in the kingdom of God. Well, Paul addressed this letter. This is what it was all about, because they were taking the Torah and they were turning it into a legalistic aspect, which they shouldn't have done. but they did. And so he clarifies a lot of this in this book. But before we read Pardes, I was thinking about this as well. Think about this. We mentioned this last week. The original Torah had 213 commandments in it. Well, as the years went by, the rabbis added another 430 commandments in there to make sure that we kept the commandments, or the Jewish people, I should say, kept the commandments around those first 213 commandments. And I call those last week, I like to call them fences. In other words, we have a commandment, thou shalt not steal. Well, then they'd have all these fences around, different things put in place by man legalistically, not by any scriptural support, and said, you need to do that to make sure you keep that one commandment that you should not steal, etc. All right? So that's what happened. And so we've got now, we had the 213 that God gave us, and then we've added, they did, the Jewish people, added what? 430 legalistic commandments around those first 213. So Paul was addressing this in the book of Galatians because they were trying to Judaize the people as well, to say that whatever the Gentiles wanted to receive from the Lord, they had to do all these legalistic things that the Torah talked about. Well, we know that's not true. We talked about that for the last 2 weeks. And so the main thing is it shows how bad sin is, but also there was a lot of ceremonial things that they did back in those days that after Christ came, they didn't have to do those things anymore. Remember when he held out his arm and said, it is finished. He was saying, I am the last sacrifice that will ever be required again for sin. He was it. It's the end of it. No Amen. More sacrifices.
Amen.
So that was a legal aspect that left as well. And then we had another thing that was a commandment, though, that the high priest was put in office back in that day, and they stayed in that office until they died. Well, as soon as they died, someone else had to replace them. So they would die, and then another one replaced them. And they even had to sacrifice the animals and all, like it says in the first covenant, to cover their sins as well. Not to remove them, but to cover them. But finally, this man Yeshua came, hallelujah, and he obeyed everything that God said. He died, shed his blood for all mankind, that our sins could be washed away. And we mentioned last week that the moment that he died, the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, right down the middle. God ripped his veil, like ripping the collar of his garment, if he had a garment. Amen. Like the high priest that day with Caiaphas, when he was talking to Jesus and asking him about being the Messiah, and he realized that Jesus was the Messiah, and he got so angry, he ripped his collar. Remember that in the book, in the Bible? And the collar was reinforced with the high priest, so it couldn't be ripped very easily, but he ripped his. The moment that was done, according to the Torah, well, he was removed from the office of the high priest. So when God ripped that veil from top to bottom, husamam, that he sound that about what happened, he was releasing Jesus to move into the place to be the high priest. It was ripped from top to bottom. It's amazing when we think about what God did with that. So from that point on, he is, he is the high priest. Now one day he's going to come back as a ruling king, right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
But right now he's on the right hand of the Father, and he's a high priest on our behalf. And so all that was put in place, amen? And so after Christ came then, he wanted to eliminate all the legalistic aspects of the Torah for people to realize it had to be a matter of the heart and not some natural thing or physical thing that you're doing. So even though they did legalistic things prior to Christ that did not give them salvation, they just obeyed God and they walked by God and they trusted God. It had to come by faith. There was no other way. They had to come by faith. It wasn't keeping all those things that gave them salvation. The Torah just taught them how to walk a holy life. What brought them to salvation with God in that day? Having faith and what God asked him to do, and they did it to the best of their ability by faith. Think about Abraham. When he was obedient, took his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah. What did he do? He did exactly what God said. He knew that God would have, if God would have allowed him to take his son's life, that God, by his word that he had given him prior to that, he would have to raise Isaac up from the dead and restore him to a living being again. Well, God stopped his hand. We know that he did not sacrifice Isaac. And so at the end of all that, God told Abraham, he says, because you have believed me and trusted me by faith is what it's all about. I'm imputing to you my righteousness because you obeyed me and walked by faith. And so the first covenant people, they had to walk by faith. Do we walk by faith today within the body of Christ? Sure we do. They had to have faith in God because Yeshua hadn't come yet. They had to have faith in God and trust what God had put in place to obey that. Now that Yeshua has come, now we have faith what in God through Yeshua. Hallelujah, because he's the one that takes away all the sin. He's the one that removed it all. We don't have to do animal sacrifices anymore. We don't do any of that. We just come to him who's the high priest on the right hand of the Father. What an incredible and amazing thing awesome. That God did with all that. So let's talk about this a little bit. And Paul wrote the book of Galatians because the Judaizers were there. They were trying to cause or tell the Gentiles that they must keep all the commandments and all that to be in the kingdom of God. And so even the Jews couldn't keep it. We read that last week, didn't we? That you know the curse of the law was not the law itself. The curse was that people couldn't keep the Torah. But with Yeshua now, what? Hallelujah. He's our advocate with the right hand of the Father, and we miss it. We just bring our sin before him. We don't have to sacrifice an animal, do we, Pastor Don? And his blood covers what we do as we acknowledge the sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and we're cleansed
because
from that.
Because we have the Holy Ghost within.
We have the Holy Ghost.
You know, in the first covenant, they didn't have the Holy Ghost.
They didn't have the
within.
Holy Ghost, that's right. It's amazing.
So the Holy Ghost came upon kings, priests,
and the prophets.
And the prophets. Mm-hmm.
But we as believers, he's with us all the time.
But now, and it was just on certain people.
That's right.
But now everyone who asked Yeshua into their heart, mm-hmm. they receive the power. See, the Holy Ghost is the power.
That's right.
To have the law, the Torah.
On our hearts.
In our hearts.
Amen.
Written on our hearts. He
That's
says
right.
it would be written in their hearts. Written That's on right. our hearts. So we have a heart for God, and we have a heart to keep the God's word, because it's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for us.
It sure
it's
is.
Healthy. It's
sure.
health to our bones. It's good for our soul. It's good for our spirit. It's good for our flesh. Bring you know, it's good for us. So we have that power from within to receive not only to keep the Torah, but to receive the blessings. All the blessings that See, God has God
that's
promised.
That's right. We obey,
people.
We're going to be blessed.
Because
we
are joined. We're joined.
That's right.
And we're heirs. Mm-hmm. And we're blessed. We're blessed to have this. Yeshua paid that price that the Holy Ghost could be in us and to remain in us.
All the time.
All the time.
Dwell in us, right.
All the time.
That's right. So we have to learn how to
so
listen.
So we can hear.
Listen to him, right to
that's
hear.
That's how John heard and saw those visions and wrote the book of Revelation.
That's right.
Because
Daniel,
he was so close mm-hmm. to the Lord
yeah.
and he had the Spirit of the Lord speaking through him. And, you know, mm-hmm. he was in a place and, you know, it's interesting the place that he was in, because sometimes when you get, God gets you in a place.
Between a rock and a hard place. Yeah. That's where he was. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's so easy here in the United States to look to other things for our help, you know.
Yeah.
But we have to go first to the, look first to the Lord.
That's right.
And of course, there's other ways that we get helped, but we go first to the Lord. We seek first him. Seek him first.
That's right.
Seek the Lord first.
I thought about the difference between Daniel and John. Daniel saw a lot of things too, but see, the Spirit of God came upon him at that time to reveal those things. But think about it. John was born again. He was there at the day of Pentecost. He was baptized with the Holy Ghost, so he had the power of God moving and flowing through him all the time, even on the island of Patmos and all that. And so he had something that was dynamic, and he walked in the fullness of it. And because of that, we have the book of Revelation. So we have to understand some things about the Torah. I'm going to take you
and
to...
You know, and God protected him because God had a message to give
he sure
him
did.
That he was to take back to the churches.
Absolutely.
So yep. that's how, I mean, this book, the book of Revelation, what, did it make it in the Bible by what?
I understand by like one or two votes. It made, yeah, just but, about didn't make it, yeah.
Right. So God protected him and kept him, even though he went through terrible punishment in the flesh.
Yeah.
You know, terrible suffering.
Don't know how long.
But God protected him, and he gave him this message, and here we have this message in our Bible. Isn't that awesome?
And even history says the Romans tried to boil him in oil, and they couldn't do it. And that's when the next Roman emperor that came. Well, he just released him off the island of Patmos, and he went back to Ephesus, and he died an old man.
if we wouldn't have that book, we wouldn't have the name for our church.
That's right. But I want to take you over to Galatians chapter 2.
Glory
Let's look at this
God.
A little bit about, because we've got a misnomer about the Torah. And his commandments are not, they're not grievous. You know, that's what it says. And Jesus said in the Gospels even, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Well, what commandments are they? The things that we learn from the Torah and all that. And so, but we got to stay away from the legalistic aspects. I'm going to start in verse 16 of chapter 2 of the book of Galatians. If you're home, you can open it up. You can listen. If you're not at home, if you'd like to get a copy of this with a CD or a tape, all we ask for is a love offering, and you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34 995. We'll be glad to get it out to you. Hallelujah. But have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you as we read the Scriptures today. All right? Verse 16 says this. Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Being justified means being declared righteous. Well, he talks about the works of the law. Now, we mentioned this last week. There's two terms in here in the New Covenant that we see that Paul wrote. He called it the works of the law, okay? And he even used the term, he couldn't use the word legalism, he called the works of the law or under the law, okay? And it means perverting the law. And so this works of the law is very important because, as we mentioned last week, in the English language, we have this word legalistic and legalism, but the Greek doesn't, and I told you last week or the week before that my Webster's 1828 dictionary that was written for the English colonies here in America and all did not have that word in that dictionary, but the modern dictionary does. It's talking about some extreme effort to keep moral things and all that. And so he calls this works of the law. And so I like to look at this. It means they were not justified by a legalistic system being brought off of the Torah. But by what? By the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified, what? Declared righteous, how? By the faith of Christ. The first covenant people were justified in faith, how? By being what? Faithful and believing God. Here we have faith in Christ and his Father. And not, listen, and Paul says, and not by the works of the law. Here's the other term, works of the law again. Not by the legalistic aspects of that. For the works of the legalistic aspect of the law shall no flesh be justified. So it didn't matter how many things they wanted to keep and all that. And you see that in Israel today. They're at the Western Wall and they're bobbing and weaving and praying over there. Well, it's not going to be by keeping all those things, crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's. What God's after is their heart. So they're going to have to realize that they need Yeshua. I hope and I pray that all the time, that they'll realize they need him more than their life itself. And so it will not be any kind of works of law or the legalism of it. And we mention this word law in the New Testament. It's the word nomos, N-O-M-O-S. And it can have really three different meanings, and they're all revealed in Romans chapter 7. The first one, it can mean the actual Torah, okay? The next thing, it can mean the commandments, okay? Or a particular commandment, mainly a single commandment or two commandments, whatever. But the first part is it represents all the Torah, or it can represent what? Commandments and statutes in particular that God wants us to know at a particular time. And then the third definition of that is it means a controlling principle. There's something about the Torah. I'm not talking about the Torah that we think about in the Bible, but it's the word Torah. But there's a thing that happens with us so many times where we get into a place where we are just basically controlled by something outside of what God wants us to know. Maybe even a legalistic aspect that was put in place. How about the Jewish people? Started off with 213 commandments, and they had 430 legalistic aspects that were applied to the commandments all down through history. See, this is not of God, okay? That's called the works of the law, the legalism of the law. He says, by doing that, no flesh, what? Shall be justified. But he says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? And he said again, what? God forbid, because his blood is what removed the sins from us. If we'll just acknowledge what we've done and come before the Lord, he can wipe out those sins in a moment of time if we pray and ask him to and acknowledge it. Verse 18, for if I build again, what? The things which I destroyed, I make myself, what? A transgressor. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now look at verse 19. For I, through the law, now this law here means the Torah, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now for years that verse kind of troubled me before I realized and got into the Jewish understanding of the scriptures and all that. I'll just read it for what it says. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. What's he saying in there? It seems like it's confusing. But look at this. For I, through the law, this means the Torah, am dead to what? To the law, to the legalism of the law, that I might live unto God. That verse before, for if I would build again the things which I destroyed, the things, huh? I make myself a transgressor. Very interesting. Think about that one. For through the law, the Torah, Yet I am dead to the law, to the legalism of it, that I might live unto God. I am crucified, he says, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Wow. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness, listen to this, for if righteousness can't come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Righteousness did not come by the law. Huh? For if Christ, if righteousness came by the legalism of the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Isn't that true?
Amen.
It's a powerful, powerful verse. I'm going to read that again. I do not, he says, frustrate the grace of God. God's grace is there for us, his enablement and unmerited favor for us. For if righteousness come by the law, this is the legalism of it, then Christ is dead in me. Wow, wow. We just think about the power of that, amen? Now let's go into chapter 3. Look what Paul says now. He says, O foolish Galatians, he's talking to those that came who came to Christ. Who hath bewitched you? Wow, see, the devil likes to do that, bewitch us. Make us believe something that's not true, like that the Torah's been done away with, it's obsolete, and it has no use in our life today. That's a lie. That you should not obey what? The truth. The truth is what? The Word of God that I have in my hand.
Amen.
Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. For who? For all of us. Now listen to this. This only what I learned of you. This is powerful. He says, receive ye, remember the word ye in the King James mean you all, receive you all, what? The Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God, by the works of the law. There's the other one. The works of the law, the legalism of the law, or by the hearing of what? Faith, it says. And then he goes on, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, capital S, huh? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? No, no, no way. Now let's go on. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? It means vain means empty or futile. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's certainly not by the Torah, is it? The works of the law, the legalism of it.
By faith.
It's by faith.
Everything.
Even as
faith.
Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. We already mentioned that a little bit ago when he took his son up on Mount Moriah. Know ye therefore, Paul says, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Boy.
Amen. So there's the promises.
There's the promises. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that means the Gentiles, through what? Through faith, not legalism, or keeping all the commandments, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee, who's that? In Abraham, shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful what? Abraham. We're part of him. All the promises, Paul said, all the promises of Abraham are what? Yea and amen for us. Verse 10, for as many as are the works of the law, this legalistic system, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. They couldn't do that. So the curse was not the Torah, was it, Pastor Don?
No.
The curse was not being able to keep that. And we found that out last week. Even the high priest had to sacrifice animals for his own sinful nature because we're all sinners. We've all missed the glory of God. Now look at verse 11. Now we have a but. This means we've got a contradiction now. But that no man, here he says it again, is justified or declared righteous by the legalism of the law. That's what he's telling in the sight of God. It is evident for, back then they said, the just shall live by faith over in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Well, that's a true statement. We know that. But think about this. Verse 12 now. And the law, or the legalism of the law, is not a faith. That's what he's telling. It's not a faith. But, here's a but again, like we had up here in verse, I love the buts and the suddenlies in the Bible. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. So what they've done, and they took a misuse of the Old Testament, the First Testament text, and they perverted it into a form of legalism. And then verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Not the Torah, but not being able to keep it, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Does it say through legalism or through the law? No. Through what? Faith. And then he says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, the Torah, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that he should make the promise of none effect. Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
For if the inheritance be of the law, of the Torah, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham. How? By promise.
By promise.
Wow. One more verse. Wherefore, then serveth the law, or the Torah. It was added because of transgressions, hear this, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Who was that? Yeshua. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Moses brought that forth. They got the Torah, the instruction, how to walk holy and all that. But the seed was all really talking about God. Verse 20. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Verse 21. Verse 21. Is the law, now this is the Torah, not the legalism, but we're talking about the Torah. Is then the law then against the promise of God? He says again, God forbid.
No.
For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the Torah. And it's not. It's by faith, isn't it?
That's right.
Hallelujah. But the scripture hath concluded that all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Christ, of Jesus Christ, might be given to them that believe. How do we believe? By faith. But before faith came, we were kept under the Torah, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the Torah was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be what? Justified by faith. Isn't that wonderful to know that? It's amazing.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's finish this. A few more verses here. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith, in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Amen.
You were placed or introduced into Christ when you got water baptized. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Wow.
Hallelujah. What an incredible few verses there that
Paul awesome.
Talked about the legalistic aspect of the Torah. So he made it quite clear that keeping all those things does not give us salvation. And the Jews try to do that back then. They're still trying to do it today. We need to obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
If we love God, we'll keep
commandments.
Keep his Torah.
That's right. But doing all the things like they did in the first covenant, they thought doing all those things, that was going to make them righteous before God and they were going to get saved. No, they had to.
They couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it. So they did it to the best of their ability, and they had to walk by faith and trust God. Trust God.
And they tried to add more and more laws
all the time
to try to keep the ones that God had given them, but you know,
it worked, didn't it?
It's all
that's right.
Loving the Lord. If you love the Lord God with all your heart, then we will.
I think about
it. We will by the Spirit.
I think about
it. We'll walk in the Spirit. We'll live in the Spirit.
Right.
We'll order our
all
life
the time
according
in the Spirit,
to the Spirit.
Yeah. I think about King David. You know, he sinned. And the thing with Bathsheba, I'm actually committed three major sins. Well, the legalistic application of the law and all didn't give him any kind of forgiveness. He finally realized he had to come before God, didn't he? And so he came before God, he asked for the forgiveness, and so God forgave him for all that. And so it wasn't him, he broke the commandment, we know, and there was something that he couldn't keep it because he didn't have the ability at that time, because he didn't have that baptism of the Holy Ghost. He didn't have that inner witness with the Spirit of God. But he still knew the Torah said not to do it, and so because of that, he didn't obey it, so he got into trouble. So he wasn't trusting God by faith. But we find out after he asked God to forgive him, we read in the scriptures that he was a man after God's heart.
That's right.
So it wasn't keeping all that. It was having that pure heart before God with his heart, willing to ask for forgiveness and knowing that he broke the Torah. He broke the things that God said not to do. But the grace of God was there because he had faith trusting God. And no man could do it. What happened to King Saul when he failed? He didn't go to God. He went to who? Samuel the prophet, and asked him to forgive. Well, Samuel couldn't help him at all. He should have went to God, but he didn't do that.
But God was so gracious. The grace was there so much
all the time
for David and for other, excuse me, for others.
That's right.
But you know, in their lifetime, though, they did suffer consequences from their sin.
And we still do today.
And we still do today.
Yeah, if we do something wrong, we can get right with God. But
there may be a result.
Yeah, if we broke a law or something, we have to go to jail or whatever might have happened, well, then the consequence will be there. But we're forgiven, aren't we?
That's right. We'll be in heaven.
We'll be in heaven. So that's what's key about this. And so I tell you, this book of Galatians is a powerful book because the Jews were trying to bring the Gentiles under this, what would you call it? Well, it was a form, it was legalism, we know that, but some kind of a bondage that would just put on them.
I think it would be good for you to, I don't know how many people have been tuned in or not, but you did a teaching on the different, see that there wasn't a word for law.
That's right.
And so when people read this, a lot of times they just think that law, that whenever they see the word law, they think it's Torah every time. And it doesn't mean the Torah every time. And I think it would be good for you to maybe kind of do a little refreshing on that.
Well, let's do this.
Because, you know, you've done a pretty in-depth teaching about the word law and what it means.
That's right.
Because I believe, if I remember correctly, it can mean one of three things.
That's right. We'll talk
and
about that.
So we'll talk about that. So one of them we know means the law, means the Torah.
Means the actual Torah.
And another time you've mentioned, as you've been reading, legalism. So why don't we go ahead and explain what that word law means.
Okay.
Because Paul, when he wrote this, you know, he didn't have
a word for legalistic forms of any kind. He didn't there was no word in the language at that time. Even in the, like we mentioned, the 1828 Webster's Dictionary didn't have it in there either. So I believe what God was showing us with this is about what legalism is. It's, you know, it's having a stringent thing over moral things and all that, and it can be perverted, and we don't want that.
So when we're reading this, when we see this word law, we really need to read before and after and get the understanding of what Paul is talking about.
Absolutely.
Is he talking about the Torah, or is he talking about the legalism of the Torah?
So let's go over to Romans chapter 7. This is pretty clear here. Now, we mentioned last week the word law in the Greek text is the word nomos, spelled N-O-M-O-S. But it can have really three different meanings. And Romans chapter 7 shows us a couple of them really clear. So let's look at this. Let's start in verse 6 of chapter 7 of Romans. If you got your Bible at home, if not, you can listen. You can call and order a CD or a tape, and we'll be glad to get it out.
So let's just put in the word that it means, as we read it.
That's what we're going to do. Verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law. We're delivered from what? The legalism of the law is what Paul's saying here.
Which is a controlling principle.
That's right. That being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve newness of spirit, it means our human spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. Okay?
So that's important right there, because see, now the word was written on tablets, on paper.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the oldness of the letter.
That's right.
You know, but now it's to be the newness of our, to be written on in our spirit, in our heart.
We hear this word logos and rhema all the time in the Greek language. Logos means what I'm reading right here is a logos word, but we can receive a rhema off it, which is a living word.
Now, so you can read this logos word, and if you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, you're not going to have revelation. You're not going to have understanding of what the word says, and you know you're not going to really be changed.
It's
only after you ask Jesus to come into your heart and you receive the Holy Ghost that you begin to understand.
That's right.
When we're saved, we're not saved because of our thoughts or what we think or what we read. We're saved because our heart has been touched.
And turned to God, yes.
Our heart, so it's the heart. So when God touches our heart, when our heart receives, see, your heart has to receive it, not your mind. After your heart receives it, then you begin to get understanding, you know, in your mind.
That's right.
You begin to renew your mind. It says the Bible says to renew the spirit of your mind.
That's right.
So the spirit of your mind has a spirit. The spirit, your spirit has to be sensitized and touched by the Holy Ghost, by the Lord, and you get saved, and then you begin to understand what's the Bible, because it's not difficult. And we're reading from the King James Bible, which is written on a fifth grade level, and maybe there are a few words that some people say are archaic, but even just taking out the word ye changes the meaning of many of these scriptures, because whenever you see the word ye, He's talking to everyone. When he's
you
talking
all.
To just to one person, he's saying you.
That's
so
right.
So when we see the word G, we know that he's God, you're speaking to me.
All right, let's go through this. We got a few more minutes here.
Okay.
Verse 7 says this now. What shall we say then, Paul says, is the law sin? And he says, well, this law is the Torah. He says, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. This law means the Torah.
That's right.
For I had not known lust except the law of the Torah had said, thou shalt not covet. Now we went on down and read verse 12 about wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. And then we mentioned verse 14. For we know that the Torah, this means the Torah, is spiritual, mm-hmm. but I am carnal, sold under sin. So the Torah has spiritual aspects we have today. We don't do the legalistic things, the ceremonial things, but there's a spiritual truth behind all of it. Now let's go on. We can read
God is spirit, and
that's
he speaks
right.
to our spirit.
Okay. Now Paul then goes to verse 15 and says this. Well, let's read 14. For we know that the Torah, this means the Torah, is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin, because he was a sinner like all of us.
Mm-hmm.
For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, he wants to do, I do, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto what? The law, that is, this means the Torah, that is good. So this is our first definition of the Torah. He means he consents, it means he's agreeing with the Torah that it is good. It is good for him, if we could just learn how to possibly obey it, but they couldn't obey it. So that's why Christ had to come. Now, verse 17. Now then, he says, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The sin nature that's in all of us. We have to deal with that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present. He wants to do it with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Many times he failed, just like all of us. Now let's go on. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. He says, if I'm doing what I don't want, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So he's relating to the sin nature that we all have within ourselves. Even though we're born again, we have to deal with that old man all the time. Now verse 21. I find then a law. Now this law here is not the Torah. This law is a control. It means a controlling principle. I find then a controlling principle that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So the enemy's there to try to control that with us. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God. This is the Torah, after the inward man. But I see another law.
Now, what there's law? Your key right there, but I see
another law. That doesn't mean the Torah, another law. It means another aspect from the enemy, a controlling principle
in my members,
warring against the law, the Torah of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to keep it. And bringing me into captivity to the law. Now, this is not the Torah. To what? The controlling principle of sin, which is in my members.
That's right.
And then he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with a mind, I myself serve what? The Torah of God. It means the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
But with the flesh, what? The law. The
of
what?
Sin.
The controlling principle of sin. And then he goes on, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. What's the flesh? It's this physical thing we're in, but also it's a picture of the old man. But after what? The Spirit.
The Spirit.
Now he says, for the law of the Spirit. What law is this now?
The Torah.
This is the Torah. The law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from
free.
What? From the law or the controlling principle of sin and death. Amen?
That's right.
You can even look at verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit. Think about it. That could also represent a controlling principle. For the controlling principle of the Spirit in our lives, what? It's going to do, it brings life in Christ Jesus. But it's also talking about the Torah there. In Jesus Christ hath made me free from what? The law, which means the controlling principle of sin and death. For
so,
what? Go ahead.
We have been given the power.
That's right, we have.
To overcome.
Amen.
The law of sin.
That's right. And then verse 3 says, for what the law, now this is talking about the Torah itself, could not do in that it was weak, what? Through our flesh, because we couldn't keep it
mm-hmm.
in that day. God sending his own son
Man.
In the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Well now, you know, today we have the Spirit of God. Paul had the Spirit of God when he wrote this, okay?
That's right.
So I'm going to read it again. For what the Torah could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, because he had troubles keeping it himself. God sending his own son in the likeness of sin, sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. He wants to get rid of it in our being. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law, this is the Torah now, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, the flesh of the old man, but after what? The Spirit of God. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. We have that in the church, and many people, they're following after their flesh, their feelings and their emotions, instead of what the Word says, mm-hmm. and following the Spirit of God. But they that are under the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. But they that are after.
After the Spirit of God. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnally means to be unspiritual. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace.
Because
the carnal mind is enmity. There's a battle going on. It's against God. For it is not subject to the Torah of God. That's what it means. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot what?
Please God.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Hear mm-hmm. this? If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you.
It dwells
in us. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Isn't that incredible?
That's right.
And if Christ be in you, the body is what? Is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of what?
Righteousness.
It is incredible.
Powerful.
It's wonderful.
So he's given us a way.
He sure is. It's by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, and to believe what he came to do with all of it. And he wants us to have the fullness of it, not just half of it. He wants us to receive the baptism as well, to walk in the power and the anointing. How did all those apostles go out? They were also all confused there in John chapter 21. They were going to go back to the fishing trade. They were so confused, but they did what the Lord told them to. They went to Jerusalem and they tarried those 10 days. The Holy Ghost came, and what happened? They were turned upside down. They become dynamos. They became dynamos for the kingdom of God, and they went out and turned the world upside down in about 30 years. They did it. How? By the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what it was all about. We need that power today. If our country could only get a hold of that with our leaders in Washington and denominations and get a hold of the power of the Holy Ghost, this country could be turned around so quickly because they'd be walking in the realm of the Spirit and not what their thoughts are or their flesh and all the feelings that we have and pacifying what God says and picking and choosing this and removing this or adding this to the Word of God. And the Bible condemns that. We take it for what it says and walk in the fullness of it, and we'll have the power that He wants us to have and walk in. So hallelujah.
And people need to finish up that chapter 8.
That's
because
right.
It's powerful. There's so many things in there that just teaches
in Romans,
us.
That's right.
We're the children of God. We're His creations. You know, we're saved by hope, it talks about.
And
the Spirit also helps our infirmities. There's so many things. Just go ahead and read the rest of that chapter.
Chapter 8.
And,
yeah.
You know, you just won't want to stop. And meditate on these things.
It's
chapter
marvelous.
7 and chapter 8.
That's right.
In the book of Romans.
You got it.
It's all good. Praise God.
Good.
So, you know, a lot of people say, well, Paul wasn't saved when he wrote this, but, you know, he was. We all have difficulties. But if we choose to live by the Spirit, to order our lives according to the Spirit of God,
right.
we can overcome because, you know, the sinful flesh was put on Yeshua.
That's right.
Once and for all, one sacrifice,
once and for all.
That we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, as it says in John 10:10.
That's right.
That we would not allow the thief to come to
steal, kill, and destroy.
You know, we got a warning.
That's right.
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have the Lord, so we have abundant life. The abundant life doesn't just mean, like some people teach, of just money. It means a lot of things. It means everything. It means your whole life.
That's right.
Your
Hallelujah.
Whole life is going to be full. It's going to be living. It's going to be alive. It's going to be refreshed daily by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God,
That's right.
by the Word of God.
I had a pastor years ago that tried to convince me that chapter 7 of Romans, that Paul, this was before he got saved. But if you read, you know, the Greek, the verbs are the most important because those are the action words. And so I was challenged. I looked up all the verbs in this chapter mm-hmm. after that happened years mm-hmm. ago, and I found out they're all in the present tense. That means it was going on right then and there. It means he was struggling just like you and I do today, even though we're born again. It was in the present tense. It wasn't in the aorist tense, which means, well, it happened in the past and has no effect on us today. No. It was in the present tense. It's going on all the time. So he was dealing with things just like you and I have to deal with every day. So thank you, Lord, that Paul was human like us.
Thank you, Lord.
But he realized the power of the Holy Ghost within his life.
Power.
He could overcome everything, anything that Satan was going to do. And we read the book of Acts, and we find out, for the most part, that he overcame, didn't he?
Yes.
He went through some terrible punishments and all that. But he overcame.
And, you know, he said he prayed in the Spirit more than all of
That's
you
right.
all.
Yeah, which,
and so it's
yeah,
important that we should teach on that. It's important that we press in and pray in the Holy Ghost. We have to pray in the Spirit. Paul was not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. You know, much of the church don't want to talk about the
nope.
Holy Ghost.
Nope.
They don't want to talk about the blood
a
of Jesus.
A private thing, they say.
They don't want to talk about the cross.
That's right.
Some churches, you know, won't see a cross in the church, you know. So he was not ashamed of the gospel.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, but there's a lot of people who are, that even are Christians, they for some reason, they clam up
yep.
when it comes to the gospel. Well, they don't want have to be, they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or they don't want this or that, I don't know. But, you know, we have to press in, and we have to pray in the Holy Ghost and not be us, and be bold.
Absolutely.
We're supposed to be bold.
That's right.
In the Lord.
So,
and know His Word and to speak His Word. You know, that's how lives, other people's lives are going to be changed.
That's
how your life got changed. My life got changed. Somebody was not afraid to say something, to do something, to show you something,
Thank
to pray
Lord.
For you.
That's right.
Well, here we are.
You know, one other thing I want to mention before we close. You know, I've told people this for years and years since we've been saved. The reason most people will not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the book of Acts shows it always when they had it, they spoke in tongues.
That's right.
First of all, they what? They have been taught that it's not for
wrong.
Today. And the second thing is this, is they never asked to receive it.
Right.
And because they've been taught wrong, they're afraid to ask from God to receive
afraid.
It.
Some
they're
people afraid. Are afraid of the Holy Ghost. Why, I don't
just
know.
Just receive it today, right here on the radio.
Mandalco, yes.
Sambebe. Just ask and you shall receive.
Thank you, Lord. That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, we're running out of time.
Well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you every Saturday, Lord willing, and also on the internet. You can listen to this program again if you'd like to go to the internet and go to WCNO.com. And you can listen to us on the internet or on the radio. Either way, but every Saturday at 12 o'clock, 12 to 1. And we also have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night at 7 and Saturday, and also Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So we're blessed to be with you. And the
Amen.
Phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So we'll
if you'd like to have a copy of this teaching, you can give us a call.
Amen. So think about this again. The Torah has not been done away with, okay? All right. It's not obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for us, Paul said. If Paul mm-hmm. said it was good for us in the New Testament, it's good for us. So remember, it's valid today. So apply it to your life. See the teachings that God will show you through that in the Spirit. Not the legalistic aspect, but in the Spirit.
Amen.
And if you do, you're going to be changed. You'll never be the same again. So we close this program every week, and we tell people to do what, Pastor?
Look up.
Look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And as we close, we say what, honey?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.